Yes.
Well, the word we most use in the Zen Bichlap is selfing. Okay? Selfing. We don't say anything about self because that's too, giving it too much credit. There is no noun called self, but there's an activity, a mental process that I like to call selfing. Now, a great master, in my view, talks about it in one of his writings, not his, one of his followers, and he says a very important statement. He says, there's a presupposing of a non-existent thing that wants to get salvation for the non-existent thing. That's what selfing does. The selfing implies, insinuates, infers, presupposes that there's a non-existent thing. Now, if the big M mind buys the advertisement, it takes itself to be the non-existent thing, and everything after that is done for the non-existent thing. Yes? That's it. If you see that, you're prior to the non-existent thing. If you're looking at it, you're after the non-existent thing. The priorness sees it as non-existing, loses interest in it, and therefore it loses interest in all the activities that the selfing uses to imply, to assume, and to infer. So you don't lose interest in what you are, you lose interest in what you're not. There's no gain, you don't gain interest in what you are, you lose interest in what you're not, and that's the gaining of interest in what you are. The whole statement of non-duality means not to. It doesn't mean anything other than that, in my view. It's just the negation, not to. Yeah? Then there's a finding out. So there's the negation of not to, and then there's a finding out of what's there, right? Prior to not to. There's not the not to finding out about the priorness. It's the recognition of not to, and then there's the finding out about the priorness. Yeah? And then when there's a finding out about the priorness, and it's not prior because it's always whatever, it's contextual, but there's a sense, when that sense is felt, you may call it home, yeah, or intimated. Now, in a way, the starting point, it was sort of like the race got rigged because the starting point had been moved from square zero to square three. So the selfing is a mental process, yes? It happens in time, and I would say what we are is of a timeless nature. Yeah? So supposedly it takes about 500th of a second for the mental process to produce the sense of self. Yes? The selfing. It's very, very quick. It can't produce the sense of self. It just implies to the big M mind about the self, and then the sense of self is produced by big M mind, in a way. Yes? So the solution is prior to the problem. If the problem is taken to be a fact, there's going to be a lot of solutions to it. Yeah? But the real solution is prior to the problem. And when you see it from prior to the problem, it's not a problem. It's an activity that needs your compliance. Yeah? You have to believe it for it to appear to be so. As Jesus says, as you believe, so it is. It's basically that condition. Yeah. So the word selfing, as this statement says, is that the essence of that presupposing of a non-existent thing. Yeah? Now, the sense of self is the feeling of being a long-lasting, independent, separate entity, a body, basically. Yeah? And this whole system of selfing is pretty much continued, reinforced, and generated from the thought system. Yeah? Not your thought system. That would be the sense of self. If the sense of self is produced, a thought system will seem to be yours. If the sense of self is produced, the thinking will be seen to be your thinking. Yeah? If the sense of self is produced, feelings will be your feelings. If the sense of self is produced, problems will be your problems. Yes? Prior to that, they're just problems. There's just seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, touching, which is the basis of all everyday's life, is conscious contact, yes? You're seeing, hearing, feeling. You're not. There's seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and touching. Now, this presupposing, it's beautiful because it doesn't say just supposing. It when the supposing is happening, it presupposes you were prior. Yeah? So it comes after conscious contact, and then the mental state, it presupposes you as what's before the conscious contact, and it feels like you're conscious, doesn't it? It feels like at that point, you're the seeing. It feels like you're the hearer, you're the feeler, you're the taster, you're the toucher, you're the doer, you're the haver. Yeah? And you're not the haver, and you're not the doer. That sense of self gets produced by both sides, yeah? When you're close, and when you're far away. It's the same, same. There's a closeness, let's say you think you're close, and you think you're far away. There are two different experiences, but the one sense of self is having both experiences. That's the bondage of self. It's an activity. It cannot become so. It can seem to become so. It can only reach the level of appearing to be so to what is so. We are the reality, lending reality to things by being identified as a thing. That's how it works. You can see it. Yeah? So the consciousness is an insurmountable mountain for the selfing to move. It can't move it. It can't get rid of it. Yeah. So what does it do? It claims it. It says, I'm the one who's conscious. So now when the seeing is happening, there's a mental interpretation that you're the seer. Yeah. And you may see tons of things today, but there'll be only all that seeing of tons of things will be used to point to the one seer. That's the repetition, the presupposing, the implying, the insinuating, the reinforcing, the sense of self. It's sort of like a glue that can never bond anything. So what happens is the glue is applied so fast, so much, it seems like it's so. Yeah? It appears to be so to you, but it isn't so. That's the good news. None of this could fucking happen. Yeah? But it's happening. So the whole point of this message is to entertain what we're not. Yeah? See if you are that long-lasting, independent, separate entity. Because that's where all the meaning to everything that follows is distributed from. Yeah? The meaning to thought isn't in the thought, it's from the mind. It's the feeling of being my thought that gives it so much meaning. Yeah, the feeling of a feeling isn't, that's not the weight of it, it's the my feeling. Yeah, as soon as a feeling is claimed and is seen as your feeling, it's a total different beast. A feeling comes and goes, your feeling seems to linger, eh? Mm-hmm. Sort of orbits around the planet Paul, it seems to go away but suddenly comes back, comes back, stays a little while. You are the gravitational pull. It's the mind that's the gravitational pull. It's not the feeling and thought, because if it was the thought, then if we had all had the same thought, we'd have the same effect, yes? If one thought could destroy your day, it would have the same power to destroy my day. And it's not based on the thought, it's based on who or what is having the thought. That's the meaning. The thought is like facilitates the bondage, but it's not the weight of the bondage. The weight of the bondage is you believe things are yours that aren't yours. And the language constantly, constantly implies you have a lot to do with shit you have nothing to do with. I mean, constantly. Everyone's like, this knee got damaged or just went out when I was surfing. Now, when I go around and I talk to people, it would be easy to say, I hurt my knee. So it sounds like I went out with a hammer into the water and fucking just started banging, doesn't it? Sounds like I did it. I hurt my knee. But in fact, that's not so. Or like I go on tours and I haven't been there for a while and I come in and my hair's longer and someone says, hey, Paul, you're growing your hair. And I go, yes, I'm growing my hair. Doing a very good job, and you know, the person's sort of balding. I go, you're not doing too well. But I'm doing really good, and I joined a group, and I find my hair grows longer and better when I do it with others. So we get together, we grow our hair, and it's looking great, and I'm very proud of my hair. But in fact, all I do is not cut it. But the language implies I have tons of shit to do with shit I have nothing to do with. This is what we're listening to in a state of ignoring. We're ignoring something. Yeah? Because there's an assumed fact that's taken away all the investigation. Yeah, we want to stop thinking. We want to go over the thoughts with some paid person to try to get some relief from the thoughts. But there's not a true desire or willingness to see, are they yours or are they not? If they're not yours, they're totally different than when they are. You can see it. We have such a simple example. You have a board here, and you put the word money up there, and you put, and it could be any words, yeah. But money, relationship, and success, let's say, okay, or health. All right, everyone would react to those words from where their condition seems to be. Yes. So if you had no money, money would seem maybe be like a neon lit. Yeah, money, money, money. All right, I'm going to change the word without changing the word. I'm going to change it dramatically without changing the word at all. Yeah, my money, my health, my relationships. Now here I can say I wish every one of you to have a lot of money, but I don't want you to have any of my money. Yeah, the my changes the whole feeling of money, doesn't it? That's three examples. It's happening all freaking day. This is the heist that no one's noticing. Yeah. We start after the heist. Like the doppelganger, the substitute has been put in place. We take ourselves to be a body, and now we actually objectify our own nature and start seeking for it. We start looking for ourselves. Yeah. But as St. Francis says, what's looking is what you're looking for. It doesn't say what's looking and then 20 pages of requirements to become what you're looking for. What's looking is what you're looking for right now. Yeah. What's looking, we just don't think so. Yeah. It would seem to be absurd if we were seeking for ourselves, wouldn't it? So there must be an identification as something other than ourselves that makes it sound or seem logical to be seeking for ourselves. Like a great Zen master, Hoang Po, said, you can't use the Buddha to seek the Buddha. You can't use light to seek light. You can't use the big M mind to seek the big M mind. You can do it for eons and nothing's going to happen. Yeah. If you're not the Buddha, it may be a great idea to seek it. But if you are the Buddha, that same great idea doesn't work. Yeah? Because you can't find where you're looking from. You're looking from it. Yeah? Anything else, I can seek to the bar and get a drink. But you can't seek for what you are with what you are. So obviously, if we're busily seeking for what we are, we must be seeking from what we are or from what we're not. Because if it dawned on you, you would stop seeking for what you are. And you realize it's more of an expression than something to find or acquire. You would be that which you're looking for. When? Now. What time? Now. How long? All the time. Right where you are, with no requirement necessary to be it, because you are it. It's another great Zen statement out of Faith Mind, where he says, you can't use activity to produce stillness, that would be activity. Yeah? The mental state is agitation. That's what it is. Yeah? The mental state is wanting to be something it can't be. So therefore, its desire is constantly thwarted. So it's in this, it's like a slinky going down this thing. It has a desire to become, and then it presupposes you're something that you don't want to be. So now, there's a desire to become, and then there's a desire to unbecome. And then the unbecome, then the desire to become. On and on and on. It's self-generating. It's agitated. And if it meets something that means peace, it's going to agitate peace. It's going to make peace cause you to worry. What will happen to the peace later? Yeah, look at what people have done with the word enlightenment. They're driving themselves fucking crazy. I'm not enlightened. I should be enlightened. When am I going to be enlightened? They're enlightened. I hate that fucking person. This and that. The enlightenment means cessation of all suffering, but when the mental state claims it, it produces suffering. It's better that people never heard about awakening and enlightenment. I swear. It has done more damage because they believe awakening is an event. It's not an event. We're inherently awake, and here you can seem to be awake to that, or you can be awake to that. I mean, you can seem to be asleep to that, or you can seem to be awake to that. It doesn't change the awakeness. When you're seeming to be unawake to it, you're awake as hell. When you're seeming to be awake to it, you're awake as hell. So it doesn't come and go. Seemingly awakeness, the awakeness doesn't go unawake and then awake. It's not like a flickering light. It doesn't go, but the seeming awakeness can think it's seemingly asleep again and then hopes to become seemingly awake again. But the inherent awakeness has never changed. It's like a sky, a huge sky, allowing everything to happen in it, yet not being affected by any of it. Like the planes flying through it, never call the tower and say they ran into a chunk of sky. Never. It rains, it doesn't wet the sky. It, you know, if a bird shits, it doesn't land in the sky. It lands on our car. Yeah. You have 800 Fourth of July explosions. The sky is not going to be ripped up. That little doggy you saw in the morning as a cloud isn't a doggy at 4 in the p.m. It's all changed and dissipated. So the sky is like a huge space that allows everything to appear in it. That's like, that's mind. How can you use mind to know mind? Mind can be used to know what it's not. It can study what it's not. But it can't study what it is. It can only be what it is. Knowing is a booby prize. When you get this, it's being it. It's not knowing it or deeply knowing it or deeply understanding it. It's being it. You can understand deeply and know everything that you're not, but the only thing, the only appropriate reaction here as what you are is being it. Being it. And it will be a sense felt intimation. There'll be spaciousness. When you come in, the spaciousness will become in the foreground, and all the yapping and everything will go into the background. Yeah? It's like the horse will be in front of the cart, and things will make sense. Like they say in Zen, blue will be seen as blue, and red will be seen as red. Yes? There'll be a deep relaxation, better than 50 Thai massages, I swear. Because you'll be let off your own hook, finally. If this is you, it's going to be an urban renewal project your whole life, isn't it? You're going to constantly find fault, want to improve it, feel like you're progressing, but then you do something to fuck it all up. You got to start over again. Or, God forbid, you miss meditating that day. Your whole day sucks. I mean, you weren't meditating when you were a little kid. Did it suck then? When did meditation become a totally absolute needed ingredient to life? So the mental state's main movement is to claim. It doesn't have a life, so it claims the one we offer. And how does it claim it? It just claims all the faculties that are going on. Thinking is seen as your thinking, feelings are your feelings. Even consciousness has been claimed and called to be something you can increase and decrease. This is not an experience. Yeah? It is not an experience. It's prior to experiences. It will influence all your experiences, but it's not an experience. If it had the qualities of coming and going, it would not be that. Yeah? It's like the ocean and the wave. Use this example for a lot of times. All right. We become identified as a wave, and then the wave can get to such an identification that it thinks it's dry. You can have a whole story about being dry as hell. And now it hears about the ocean, but as a wave, yeah. So it starts thinking, I'm going to study the ocean. I'm going to read everything I can about the ocean, and I hope I have some experiences of the ocean. And it goes on and waving and waving and waving, and now he becomes a big circus speaker, you know, at wave colleges about the ocean. And, you know, it says, there is this great space, and if we work hard as a wave, we can break on its shore, and let's, and you know, da-da-da-da-da, going on and on and on and on and on. Yes? And the wave, it doesn't, see, it will want to know the ocean, it will want to have an experience of the ocean, but it can't entertain being the ocean because it's busily buying the story that it's a wave, yeah? Now what would happen if it saw that it wasn't a wave? How long would it take to be the ocean? And would that have to be vigilance? Once it realized it wasn't a wave, would it have to be vigilant about being an ocean as much as it was vigilant about being a wave? I mean, the mental state is constantly vigilant about being a wave. It's constantly using everything you come in contact to point to it, really. This phantom person, phantom thing. But would it take any vigilance to stay the ocean if you are the ocean? Every day, conscious contact, yes? Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, touching. And then they say, the mind is hears thoughts, basically. So there's a 6 gates. Now, there are consciousness could come through 50 gates. It's not like a defined limitation by the door it moves through. So here it is, conscious contact. Do we have to join a seeing group to see better? You know, if we look at spiritual teacher pictures, will it make us see better? Are we really practicing hearing better? The hearing may be co-opted by the ear, but not that which is hearing, yes? And has all the what's hearing, what's feeling, what's tasting, what's touching, what's smelling, has it demonstrated any thought or effort ever? Do you run out of seeing by 4 in the afternoon? If you saw too much? I've seen fucking too much. Better get home, get the blank screen, watch Die Hard 12 maybe. You would see nothing then. Blank out. I don't see it ever exhibiting any thought or effort. Then why would you believe thought and effort would arrive you there? The conscious contact has never demonstrated any thought or effort. You've been conscious of terrible fucking things and great things, yes? It doesn't seem to pick and choose. If the eye is open, I could have vowed never to see a bird, and if a bird flies by, I see the bird. And you'll hear a lot of people talk about, oh, I didn't want to feel that. They already felt it, yeah? The conscious contact is quicker than the sense of self getting produced. The sense of self is an afterthought, but there's a presupposing that it's prior. But you can catch the thief, and if you catch the thief, it turns very meek. It's got your silverware, and you go, what? Oh, sorry. And he goes, oh, sorry. Let me do some menial work here. Like, where are my keys? How do I get the... Yeah. But most of us, we get the security system, yeah, and we're punching the password, and it's looking right over our shoulder. The thief's in the house. You call it me. How do you expect to get it out of it? That every possibility, every activity, all your secrets, that you would let no one enter. It enters freely because every time you see it, you call it me. It's fucking blackmailing you after the... It's blackmailing us. It extorts you, doesn't it? It's got like a mental accountant up there that sort of try. You have to accrue a certain amount of value to have a break. If you haven't worked out 2 hours today, gone to the gym, did this, did that, no, you gotta keep going. You gotta go home. That's slavery. That's playing God, isn't it? It's playing God about God. It tells you how far you are to it, how close you are to being, when you're gonna be being. It's always wasing and willing. There is a solution. From the solution's point of view, the seeming problem is seeming. It appears to be true or false to you. It doesn't appear to be true randomly or false randomly. It doesn't appear at all other than to us. We give it all the meaning it has. We give it all the meaning it has. There's a beautiful statement in the Course in Miracles. You ever heard of that, this course? In the Course in Miracles, it says, you and I are the dreamer, but I don't like nouns. I don't think nouns. I think everything is verb in here. There's no noun to be found. So let's say you and I are dreaming this dream. Yeah? We forget that we're dreaming. Now that's a big stretch right there. How could dreaming forget that it's dreaming? It's like awareness forgetting that it's aware. Yeah? It seems impossible, and the truth is it is. That's the good news. But let's say we are the dreaming of the dream, we forget that we're dreaming, and in that condition we give everything we've dreamt or that we're dreaming the power to affect us as the dreamt. This is the dreamt, yeah? As Hoang Po says, whatever can be perceived can't be perceiving. Yeah? All these bodies aren't what's perceiving. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I had an Uncle Fred who used to give me money at relatives' parties behind his back and slip me a dollar, which would be about $2 Canadian now. $2. And, so I liked Uncle Fred, basically. He bought me off. And then he died when I was 9, and my mother took me to the funeral, and she wanted to say goodbye, and she brought me up to the casket. And I looked in, and I saw Uncle Fred, but I had immediate realization, that ain't Uncle Fred, see? Without the spirit moving through that body, I saw it as not Uncle Fred. I had just misidentified the spirit with the body because I was in that seemingly that state of misidentifying the spirit with this body. So I saw Uncle Fred like I saw myself as a body, but it was obvious when the spirit or that life was out of it, that wasn't Uncle Fred. Yeah. Whatever can be perceived cannot be perceiving. This is not seeing. This is not hearing. This is not feeling. This is not tasting. This is not touching. It isn't. Yeah? You are not behind the cheekbone. Yeah? Like they used to say in the New Testament, it says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And I thought, man, it must be very few parking spaces in this world. It's a very small kingdom. You know? Because you think you is body. But it isn't body. Yeah, what you and I are is that we are the context or the space or the awareness, whatever you want to call it, and this is content. All of this appears in front of the camera. What we are appears behind the camera. Anything that appears in front of the camera is never going to appear behind the camera. It's like we have the example. There's a little browning, like an old camera, those old ones. I didn't even go into the wave and ocean well, but let's go to this one. The little browning camera. They have like a yellow tinted plastic lens. It's really freaking bad, you know, the old ones. You don't even know the old ones. This is terrible cameras, they call brownings. All right, so there it is. And it functions, though. It still takes pictures and sees. And there's this huge camera, huge, huge fucking 360 degree surround vision, beautiful HD lenses, everything. And we're walking around, we see this little camera, and we look through the little camera. And as we're looking through the little camera, the little camera's computer chip clicks on and says, hey, you're the little camera, so to speak, yeah? So now the big camera seemingly forgets it's the big camera. It's still the big camera. Nothing's happened to the big camera. The lenses haven't been affected at all, but now its vision is going through the small camera, so it sees things from the small camera's point of view, yeah? It's not the small camera, it never will be, never was, but at this time it's seeing through the small camera. And the seeing through the small camera hasn't changed one bit about the big camera's qualities, but the big camera qualities are forgotten when it acquires or identifies with the little camera's qualities. Now, it may be producing irritable restlessness and discontent. People aren't happy. It's the same old, and everything. But the idea, it's lost its sense of its own nature, and therefore it's identified as the brownie, and it can only entertain being free as the brownie. Yeah, it'll be looking for a better brownie or a bigger brownie or another brownie aperture or a brownie lens. But if it saw, if the camera saw or entered or heard the idea, it's not the Browning, how long would it take to be the big camera? No time. When would that big cameraness ever be in danger of not being the big camera? No time. Yeah? And all it is not, it's not going to move away, because when the big camera is identified as a little camera, it moves as the little camera, seemingly. Yeah? So it takes the little camera to the highest heights of spirituality, to the lowest depths of addiction. It's still seeing through the Brownie camera. And it's trying to make a Brownie camera a fucking Super 8 whatever, which it'll never be. It's got a very small point of view, and that point of view cannot expand. Selfing does not escape from itself. It's a very close, very small system with very little possibilities, and what possibilities are available are stretched out in time. So you're never okay. You're always, I will be okay, or as once okay. But there's never an immediate okayness that stabilizes here. It's always based on volatile conditions. Your emotional, physical, mental state, your financial, circumstantial states. It's like trying to get all these blocks in a row, and then when we get them all still and all lined up, it's great, yes? Maybe after a three-week retreat, that Sunday morning, you hit the jackpot. I've been massaged for 3 weeks. I've been eating vegan food, wearing loose clothing, just fucking, just everything's great at 9 o'clock in the morning. But 9:01 shows up, and 9:02 shows up, and the volatility starts having an effect. You're never going to get those blocks to stay in line, because you believe they represent your constancy. This is not constant. This is as agitated as that. So it's in seeing. This is, I'll tell you, I don't know, you know. I did a lot of stuff, seemingly, and then this was laid on me, and it was like my spiritual pants fell down, and I didn't pick them up, basically. That's all that happened. You know, I really did. I mean, it was the only peg I could hang my identified hat was. I was a pretty good spiritual seeker. I was a lousy house painter. I'd lost interest in that. I had nothing else I was good at except seeking. I mean, that was my last little vestige where the selfing could coagulate and get fucking make its little statue. And then this statement just took the rug out from me. Yeah, but I'll tell you what it revealed. Was nothing is the basis of everything. Nothing is the gift that keeps on giving. Nothing is it. That all something comes out of nothing, and all something will end up at nothing. Yeah? As the Course in Miracles says, everything you do is gonna, if it's everything, all the practices, everything, if they're sound, they're gonna lead to this realization. I need do nothing. Why not start there? All the collecting of something's going to add up to nothing. Why not just stay at nothing? And it'll be fucking something, man. So it's just a little tweak. That's all it is. It's like the heist is like a miscalibration before the record starts. Yeah, you don't notice it because you start at the third little groove. You start with the sense of being a self. An object, a thing. And therefore, the idea of nothingness or spirit is something that you get, acquire, lose, and not based on spirit, but on you, you know? You have to work to get the spirit. You can lose it if you don't keep working. You are still the big player in everything. The selfing has the biggest role. Even with spirit, even with our own nature, it becomes a commodity that you can either gain or lose. Something that's so incessantly on should not be handed over to something that's agitated, that comes and goes, that's severely limited and fucking backfires tons of times. So that's the message, really. It's a simple message. It can be repeated quite a lot because it's a message. It's sort of like everyone here has been served a spiritual subpoena. You know, you're going to get a letter in the mail. It's going to call you to a court of light. Not to the court of the mental state. You've been convicted there already. You're fucking just living a sentence right now. You're going to go to the court of light, and all your fucking trespasses and transgressions will be annulled because they've never fucking really happened. Yes? You'll be let off the biggest hook of all. And then this won't be you anymore. The Urban Renewal Project will be called off. And I'll tell you, if the body could sing a hallelujah, it would, when that fucking mental hen gets off of it. Because then you can actually, Jesus, this doesn't do well as the center of the universe. It doesn't. This is not meant to be thought about constantly. It really isn't. It is not. It's like, this is like an insect when I was a kid and I wanted to see the back of the insect and I got a magnifying glass and I had no idea that the sun moves. And the sun moved over my shoulder, and by my intent looking through the magnifying, I killed it. That's what's happening with us. We've got this incredible diffuse light of mind, and we're funneling it to this one fucking object, and it's the object of obsession over and over again. That produces the neuroses. That's what... You know, first they had, when they had first psychology, they had 10 mental illnesses. Now they have 540. And they'll keep recognizing more. I swear to God, because the observation distorts what's observed. That's what it does. When I turn around to look at something, I never saw a fucking thing. The meaning that I give it is what I see. And not me. This is just the way meaning is given. This is not the meaning giver. This is like the facilitator of meaning. Like the Course says in Lesson 2, you and I give everything all the meaning it has. We gave this object the meaning of being me. No one in this room has called this me. You call it you, every one of you. I'm never going to go past the point of you to you. Yeah? I'm never. You're never going to see me as a me. So here's all these yous, but all these yous seem so separate and so individual because the you, a you, has been elevated to an incredible coronation, which is me. There's only one me in this whole place. There is no other me as far as the eye can see. There's only me. Therefore, then you can have such a shell of terminal uniqueness, you'll feel like no one can feel like you feel. No one thinks like you do. No one can understand me. Yeah. That's called obsession with self. Recognize it. If the shoe fits, wear it. And then you can take it off. Once you own it, you'll see it's not yours. Really. Once you see it, you'll see it's not yours. Finally. Instead of trying to squeeze your foot in something that doesn't fit every day, making up stories how it's going to get better, next mile will be nicer. No. You'll realize this sucks. You know? Why would I want to try to find peace when I am the peace I'm looking for? Yeah. Why can't we be the seeing from what we are instead of the looking for what we are? It's a possibility. Entertain it. See where it takes you. Yeah? All it is, see, the mind's entertaining constantly. And we're entertaining this. We're entertaining this whole freaking place. But what the self-centeredness, that system does, it neuters possibilities. Because as soon as a possibility is introduced, just like this message, you know, people, every time I go to talks, a lot of people come up to who's ever helping to collect the money or something, and they tell the guy or woman, hey, everything this guy says goes over my head, you know? And then the guy finally asked me, I said, well, that's what I'm aiming at. Yeah? Everyone in self-centeredness thinks I'm talking to them about Big M Mind. I'm talking to mind about you. That's what's happening. And it's like the mental state, the selfing is like the Death Star in fucking Star Wars. It's shooting fucking everything coming its way. So this is like spiritual sperm. You got to send thousands of messages because the mental mitt is really quick. Oh, you're lying. Oh, I can become like lying. No, that's not the message. You're lying. I can become like lying. No. So all it takes is one of those sperms to hit the egg. And then the mind, the big M mind, can conceive a possibility that it hasn't entertained. Once it sees it's not that, the next thing that comes available to it, which was always available, what wasn't seemingly available was, I can be free from it. And that's the freedom. The freedom isn't for, as, by, this. It's from this. Yes? Simple recognition that's always available at all times, constantly reinforced by the fact of conscious contact. There's only seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, touching. The mental state wants to dissect that and emphasize seer and seen, hearer and heard, taster and tasted. That's how it forgets, seemingly, the incredible event of consciousness and contact. That's the pulse of living. The pulse in living is not being the seer. That's an interpretation. The pulse of living is seeing. The pulse of living is feeling. The pulse of living is hearing. The interpretation of life is seer, hearer, smeller, taster. So the emphasis goes on what's tasted, but always the most emphasized is the taster of everything. It's the feeler of everything. It's the seer of everything. And we're mistaken. The seer and the feeling and the hearing of everything is not an error. It's a seeing, a hearing, feeling, tasting, touching. It's verbing. Last night we had a talk Monday night in Peterborough, so we had a lovely lady sing kirtan. And then after she left, stopped, I said, well, here comes the bad news, when I started talking. Because to the mental self, this is bad news. This is bad news, because it loves journeys. It loves journeys, because it's the one that's on the journey every step of the way. There's no journey in this. I'm telling you, it's a bad choice, really. It's much more exciting to look for something than to be something. It is. To be something becomes very ordinary quickly, really. To look for it, you can make it so special. But being it takes the whole fucking odyssey out of it. And most people want an odyssey because they're the star of it. They are, too. This is not an experience. A lot of people want spiritual spectacle. They want to feel tons of energy and everything. All that can come and go. That's not it either. This is ordinary dog shit awareness. You're incessantly on, and you're incessantly on. Yeah. Spaciousness isn't full of excitement in a lot of ways, you know? I wouldn't recommend it, really. I really wouldn't. It's not a career choice. It's a career choice either. Because I am meant to be obsolete. I am. That's my most successful level I could be here is becoming obsolete to you. I hope it's not tonight, but it's coming soon. I can feel it. Yes, I'm going to be in like a senior citizen home for non-duality people. I have to pay some people to come in and seem like they're interested as I go off on satsang. There is no self. Ooh, whatever. So what? That's what I think. Eh? Any questions? I mean, you don't want to beat it like a dead horse. Yes.
I think you said something about vigilance not being necessary.
Yes.
When there's awareness, awakeness, it is. But then the examples of like the camera and the burglar in the house, to me, those pointed to vigilance being necessary.
No, once you know, it's not, well, it may be vigilant only because it's constantly aware, but it's not an effort of vigilance, yes?
It takes an effort to be constantly aware with the habits of...
No, it doesn't, because awareness is constantly aware. What's seeing has never blinked, ever. It's never looked away.
The seduction of the sense doors, the six sense doors that are constantly creating a self, require an awareness to constantly remember not self.
That may be yours. That's not my hit on it. But if it's your hit on it, then you better go by it because you're it. Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm just asking.
My take on it is, it's the easiest, softest no way, basically, because you are that which is seen. Yeah.
Yes.
And what happens is more is revealed. Let's say this one. This is how it started to happen with me. Well, one of the many trails that occurred. Yes. So I went to a satsang. And I was listening in the space. I really liked the space and stuff, whatever you want to call it. So I raised my hand. I asked the lady. I shared that, you know, I came into the room. This was a long time ago. And I said to her, I came in a room and I was watching mental states and emotional states and physical states, but there was assumption that it was me watching them. And now I just realized that was a mental state that was saying it was seeing the da-da-da-da-da. Yeah? Alright, so that was a sense like this. The aperture of self-centeredness seems like it's locked. It's the only way to see, but it opened, yeah? So obviously I saw more of the field. I saw the claiming of the seeing of the mental, emotional, physical states. So the claiming of it presupposed the mental state, which was what's seeing, yes? So that happened. And then the next few months, it happened 6 or 7 times, where there was a subtle assumption that I was the one that was feeling, seeing everything, and then the aperture would open up and that claiming would be seen from the seeing. Yeah? So that was when it hit about 7 examples, and then the mind grokked it or understood it, the big M mind, and then it never got fooled again. Yes, that's what it's like. So the aperture opens. See, this is, to me, this isn't written in stone. This is just what downloads in me. Yeah, I'm just sharing. Yeah, all right. So here's realizations for people, a lot of people, like with me. So I get a realization that I'm clear, right? So there I am. But there's still the sense of Paul saying it's the clarity. I'm very clear, and then I start noticing how unclear everyone else is, and, you know, I'm getting elevated to a very clear point, and the stuff like that, and then a lot of things. So I get these, and these are safe realizations, or like epiphanies. People, there's an event where the linear story gets interrupted, yeah? You know, people have had epiphanies. You never make reservations for epiphanies, do you? They sort of sneak up on the self. I mean, the self is just vertically, you know, horizontally walking, and then some vertical insertion happens, and it stops, and something happens, let's say, yeah? And yet, usually, when it seems to end, it coincides with these thoughts arising. I'm having this incredible epiphany. So as soon as the mental state arises to claim the epiphany, it neuters the epiphany, okay? Same thing with realizations. So then you have a big mantle in your spiritual house where you put all your big epiphanies, and this realization was a minor realization. This was a whopper, you know what I mean? I was in the cave at Ramana Maharshi's and the whole thing was revealed to me, whatever it was. You know, so now, and you're having people call, look at the whopper I got up in this festival, man. You know, those are safe. What happened, though, is this. Realizations happen, and then you're seen. Yeah? The selfing is seen. Yeah? the thing that's claiming to be the end and beginning point, the Alpha and Omega, ain't. You see it from, you know, whatever, all this. The gate's up.
So what do you see? You see thoughts?
What?
You see
nothing. That's all you see. You see an activity trotting through nothing. And the activity, all it was a pointing. And the big M mind had done the rest. The mind falls for the advertising and pictures us as a body. That's what it does. Yeah? That's what it does. Now, if you see that, yeah, you see it, there's a very strong sense you're not that, which what you're seeing implies. You are not that. Or as Zen, they would say, you see your original face, which isn't a face. Yeah? So you're that, yes? So now you've had a hit of life from behind the camera, which reveals what's in front of the camera, and what you're not can only appear to what you are in front of the camera. It cannot appear behind the camera. That's that. So all this trotting of feeling like you've moved and lost and gained and got and this, that has nothing to do with what you are. It has to do with a lot of what you're not. Yeah? So that, hold on a second, that constancy is where the Son of Man can rest his head. It's not a freaking pillow or a place. It's in our own nature. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so say one realizes the pattern of their self-in, and they become annoyed by, say, a caught in a loop, and then they all just hit that loop happened, and I saw that selfing happen. And then sometimes there might be a period of hours or days where, you know, you don't have to push away your thoughts and you don't have to be annoyed by it. And then it kind of goes back and forth, but at the very worst, you're annoyed by it. And you say that you don't no longer need vigilance anymore.
You're not the one that's getting caught up in it.
Exactly. So yeah. I was curious on your experience of when you started to become aware of the self thing and noticing it and get annoyed by it and no longer want anything to do with it. Kind of how was your experience after that?
Well, that feeling of not wanting to have it, was sick of it and this and that,
yeah,
was the selfing also.
Yeah.
So that's the sense of the aperture opening. It's not an aperture, but we're using it, yeah? So when the aperture opens, more is included. And what you're believing is just an observer here or just somehow in this life, you see it. You see it as like everything fucking else. This, you know, you see this, yeah? That's all. And then, therefore, all the enticement, it's sort of like the mental state is like trawling, yeah? It's trawling in the big ocean of consciousness. It throws its line out like you're a loser. And it sees what it can get. There's a nice little, like, what do they call those things? The fly that they put on it, you know, track the lure. It throws a nice allurement in there, and then consciousness or mind goes like this, rises up and bites it. As soon as the mind bites it, it pictures itself as a historical fish. That's how it happens, yeah? Now, if you see it, you're not it, yeah? And the aperture, the seeing will beget not more seeing, but let's say more seeing, and the aperture will open, and more will be revealed of what you're not. And in what happens is the revelation of what you're not is in what you are. Yeah? It's a big space, contents. Yeah? And things are appearing in it, and nothing does not appear in it. That's the only place anything can appear in is in the context of mind, bigger mind. Yeah? That gets intimated after a while. And then the rest gets more, let's say, secure with all this activity, because this doesn't, this rests and gets agitated. You're not that, yeah? So this has as many sensations and more than it ever had, but there's the interest is quite different. There's an interest with the event, but not the one who's having the event. Yeah? There's an interest in the experience, but not the one who's having the experience. There's the interest in hearing a note, but not the one who says it heard the note. Yeah? So more and more space becomes the dominant reference than what's appearing in space. And it's You know, find out, you know. I have faith in mind. I do. That's why we don't, I'm not into retreats and intensive. This place is intensive enough. Why would you want to go on intensive? This is fucking incredibly intensive. Yeah.
Okay, so you step back from your drowning camera, okay? I guess maybe no one else around here has. But your drowning camera is still there.
Yeah.
What's the point of it? Why is it there? What's the point of it?
Why not?
You step back, let's say you've done that, and it's still there. Why is it there?
Well, first of all, it was never there.
But you're
no, literally, it was never there. It's appearing to be there.
It's never been there, but the whole talk tonight has been about this camera that we're all subject to, yourself included, that you were able to step back from. And I'm just trying to understand, why is it there?
That's how the dreaming goes.
Is there a reason for us to dream this way?
Ask yourself. You're the one that's dreaming. Really. You are the dreaming.
But you're still dreaming, too, because your camera's still there.
They're still dreaming, but I'm not doing it, no.
But your body's still here.
Seemingly. Is? Really? I don't know. I don't have any verification of it. It seems to be happening, but I can't swear it's ever happened. No.
Well, the verification is immediate. I mean, I can cut your arm off.
Well, from your point of view.
Well, you'll experience it when I cut off your arm. You will experience that.
Yeah. Well, there'll be an experience of it. I wouldn't swear that I'll experience it.
Well, are you pointing to there being, it sounds like no self. Or not self. Like there's still an experience of self, but also an awareness of.
Well, there's always going to be an experience of self until the body dies.
Yes.
This is like the ride we're on.
Exactly.
But it's sort of like let's say you're on a ride, a roller coaster ride. When the ride ended, you wouldn't want to leave as the cab.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't take the cab off the ride. Yes. This is sort of knowing the Toyota isn't you, but the Toyota is still Toyota-ing, sure.
Right.
Yeah. I see. The thing is with this, I don't see it as a dichotomy. It's very included. It's an included thing. Yes and yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to one of the positions, but it makes total sense to another of the positions. Yes and yes, yeah. Yeah.
I do see the value of practices to prepare the mind. I might make the argument that you had practices that prepared your mind for that experience that you have, regardless. But I like the idea that Suzuki Roshi says, where he says that liberation is an accident, and our practices are just making us accident prone.
Yeah.
So it's not the thing itself.
Yeah.
But
no, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
That are conducive. Maybe.
Yeah, but those conditions can be anything. In one, let's say, one strain of dreaming, the condition would be Hoboken, or you know, fucking
that place.
Yeah, in a very nasty place. Other, you know, it doesn't have any predilection, and I think every moment you're in an accident-prone moment. Yeah? To me. I don't think... Again, it's too subtle. It's a subtle way of introducing selfing again, as it has, if it has a role. Now, it may appear to have a role or not, but it's really not... It's really nice to cut it off at its feet, yeah?
I understand your argument. I do.
Yeah, because I see it with... See, let's say... Yeah. This is just an invitation, you know. It's really, it's not a, it's not a, a controversy. It's just throwing it out there and seeing, you know. I've entertained it, and it's always entertaining. I'm not entertaining. It's always entertaining, and I have faith in it because when I heard it, it was like an unspoken yes. It was something hit me that had a sense of knowing before knowing, yeah? And it's been reverberating ever since. And it seemed, you know, what my situation was, in the system I seem to have been in that this possibility wasn't available. I had to hear it from outside. And when the person introduced it to me and added that star into this constellation of my head, that star became the Northern Star. Yes. And now I feel like I'm led and directed. I'm not leading and directing. I don't feel I'm changing. I'm being changed. Yeah, it's a whole different feeling. It's like being on an operating table. You just don't get up, don't play doctor, and the action figure will be facilitated, probably be up to be of service. Yeah. And if you see yourself as presence and available, then you're of service all the time. You're available. It's not like you're in the back of the house when a situation arises. You're present and available. And so there's tons of vignettes and choreography and a lovely beauty to this place of time. You know, I like time in a sense as a form of expression. I mean, if all the flowers were bloomed all the time, it's not as beautiful in a sense when there's the bud and then you're waiting for it and it slowly opens. It sort of teases out beauty. I like that aspect of time. I think this dreaming is incredible in a lot of levels. I see when the dreamt is taken to be the main aspect of the dreaming, life gets neutered. You live an interpretation of living. And to me, that's a heist. That's a robbery. And I don't think it takes much to wake up like the person who's being robbed because it's appearing as the robber. You're playing both roles. Yeah? If you can see the robber and you realize what you're not, then something hits you that you can't get in a direct action towards it, because all towards this is a way. But by seeing what you're not, it goes like a back door and you find out about what you are. And then maybe the rest of your life there's a finding out, because it gets teased in time, which is a statement the Course in Miracles says, a beautiful way. You and I, again, the dreaming of the dream, we're going to dream ourselves out of the dream, and as we do, the dream's going to get happier. That would be like what you were talking about, getting yourself in positions to have liberation accident, right? That to me is the big mind dreaming itself out of the dream. It's using the dream itself out of it. That's beautiful too, yeah? But the event, to me, awakening isn't an event, it's a prior condition. We're already awake. The thing here is, in certain conditions are in a place, right? And that activity is taken to be so, you'll seem to be asleep to that. If you can see through those activities and see they're not about you, you'll seem here to be awake to it. And to me, my main phrase in all the Zen Bitslap is traveling lighter, because that's what occurs. Now, it doesn't say it's going to change the geography of your life as an action figure, but you're going to travel lighter over it all. Yeah? If you get cancer or this or that happens, you'll travel lighter over it, because I've seen it for years. You know? I've seen it. That's what's happened. Or that's what's happening. A lightness which cannot be found here, but it can be brought here from what we are. It's not found here. It's not. As Jesus says, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. What we're truly looking for here is not in this place. It's of. And we are the emissary. We are that clear door, seeing into the infinite, reflecting the infinite, and reflecting this. That's where we are. If our attention's on one side, yes, and if we're only reflecting this, this is a very jealous God. It's gonna completely forget the other, of seeing infinite. When you look into the infinite, it includes this. Exactly as it is, it has no argument with it, nothing. Not at all. Yeah? One is very exclusive, very jealous. The other is very, very, very inclusive, very, very spacious. This, to me, provokes lightness. This, to me, provokes contraction. You know, exclusion, this or that, either all the degrees and all the fucking shit that happens. This is just a beautiful everything included. We can dream ourselves out of this way, or yes. Or realize there's no need to dream yourself out of anything because you've never been in anything. I like that way. Because there's nothing to do, and I'm a slacker at that. Yes.
That's a beautiful, I can just resonate with that example of the door that's multiple ways. But I think if we're it's like spiritual bypassing if we just constantly look to the infinite, turn our back to the reality that, no, it's not reality, but to this experience. So that door that sees both ways, self and non-self, is a very alive, true place in my experience. Whereas if you just turn and like, oh, I'm just infinite bliss and white light, and I'm not even that, I just am, and I'm not am, I'm just...
Well, honey, this is the thing. There's being, and then there's seeming to be. Both of them are going on at the same time. There's being, and then there's seeming to be something. That's what's going on. If you want to have lightness and seeming to be something, it comes from the being. It doesn't come from the seeming to be something. Because whatever it touches, it makes heavy usually. But the lightness that maybe we're looking for here doesn't come from here, it comes from us. Yes? Yes.
So where do things like action and choice and preferences happen from?
In the seeming to be.
In the seeming to be.
Yes. Don't they?
So in the being, there is no or non-choice. Non-action.
There isn't anything, really, that I can see.
Right. So, and then earlier you spoke about repetition, that repetition comes to something.
Here, yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that? And also there was something associated with that. Oh, in terms of, and just kind of, because I understand about the self, and I understand a lot of this intellectually, right? So I'm trying to grasp onto some details here.
Please don't.
Please don't. Right? Please. You know, but okay, like that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Right. So,
thank God you're not.
Well, yeah. So, like, then there's always pointers, there's always signposts, there's always like breadcrumbs, and I'm not always aware in the moment when selfing is happening, because it's happening so fast, right? So I'm not always kind of grasping it as it's going on. Or if I do, it often seems like after the fact. So it's like, oh, that happened back.
But
there.
That which is involved in that experience isn't what's seen.
That's the seeing.
Yes.
That's perceived.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you described something saw that for you to describe it. Like you were just describing when you seemed to get caught up. But something was very clear about you seeming to get caught up. Caught up would be mostly unclear, I imagine. So the clarity is still preceding everything, and that's what you are. Yeah. It's just a matter of seeing what you're not, because, see, the selfing, if its boundaries get pushed, wherever it can stop, it puts up its flag. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah?
I did this.
Yes.
This happened to me.
Exactly. And then, but for you to report that, seeing had to be there for you to see that you did something. Because the seeing is the light. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So after a while, you'll get that inference. So you'll go back. Not you. You won't go back, but the aperture won't get locked in. It will just go back to a much wider lens, in a sense. So you'll see the activities.
So I understand the part that, and what we're talking about to some degree, is like a sense of mistaken identity. So.
Well, it's just a case of identity. All identity is mistaken identity.
Right. Yet there is with the way you're describing it, though, there is still a sense of a separation from that.
In the action figure, but not it's that which cannot be separate doesn't have a feeling of separation. The action figure has it. That's what the action figure allows that to be a possibility. Without the action figure, there'd be no sense of anything, really. I don't see the action figure is allowing a lot to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? So does the being
seemingly it's not
have a felt sense of more of resting?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, better than 50 Thai massages. Really, I swear to God. If you got it let off your own hook, there would be a very... It would be like the way it happened, the experiences I had of it was like, let's say we're in this room, and then this room wouldn't change at all, but it would drop about 10 feet. Yeah, and then you'd be in another level of chilled outness without anything changing, and then it would drop down again. No one would notice anything. You didn't, you know, it was the same, exact same, but there was something way different about it, yeah? It's almost like that. That's what it's like. You cannot believe, first of all, there's a huge, huge phantom, like a dry wave that's on us all day, or a dry current called time here. Yeah? So everyone is usually influenced by time. And when people are driving faster, they want to get somewhere, and that, all this. It's constantly a huge influence here, but you can't see it or anything. Yes? So it's like a invisible, but that in that sense of time is only in what's appearing to be so. In that, in the sense of what we are, it's very restful because there's no time. It's not trying to culminate or reach a crescendo. It just is, let's say. It's not, that's even too much to say. It's just whatever that is, yeah? So, but it doesn't have a lot of these currents that we're under. Constantly as an action figure. You don't feel it. It's like a hand on your back moving you to a bigger, better moment. You know, it evaluates this moment, not enough, moves to another moment, then promises it's going to be great when you arrive at some other place, some other there it makes up, but when you arrive there, it's a here. Nothing escapes here and now. Have nothing here. Nothing. Yeah? But it's constantly assuming. You know, constantly. It's just mind-boggling, really. But it's like gravity. You know, gravity, nobody at this whole place, I mean, every build part of this building, movie, cafe, bookstore, not one person today probably was complaining about the effects of gravity on them. No, probably not, yeah. They blame the hill, you know, or the treadmill is really hard, you know. But it's gravity, yeah? Mm-hmm. We're going against a current we don't see, and it's pushing the body down. And so some people can study gravity. They write 900-page books on gravity. They become an expert on gravity. And they think they know gravity as best as you can know it. And all you need to do is go into an anti-gravity chamber, and by gravity's absence, you'll know its presence. Yes? It's like these people. I speak at a bookstore in California, a very new age bookstore, and they had a book there, 900 pages, a book on consciousness. Now, who would want to know consciousness when you're being conscious? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It would seem like to be, wouldn't it just, why would you have to have what you are explained in 900 pages when you just, what's reading it is conscious? You know what I mean? It's like consciousness is studying about consciousness. It's, I don't know, I just think it's fucking funny.
Isn't that what your book is? Do you have a book?
No, it's definitely not. It's a terrible book. It's about 68 pages. And all it is, it's not a linear book. Any page, we point to the same fucking thing every page, which is what we're attempting to share here. Because this is the whole point. If this is like the conception of the dream, in a sense, which is the presupposing of a non-existent thing, wanting to get salvation for that thing, pleasure for that thing, happiness for that thing, security for that thing, a big good meal for that thing, all these things, right? If that's the conception of this place, and that's where time arises, for you to appear, you have to be remembered as a self. For you to appear as a body now, to really take this body to be you, it is not an observation of this moment. It's a fucking interpretation from the past and future. Because the thought system pictures us as a body. When you're thought about by the thought system, it's thinking of you as a body. It pictures you as a body in the past. It doesn't picture you as a spirit. It can't. You can't picture spirit. Yeah? You can't. It's impossible. You can call it spirit, but that's fucking, you know. So here it goes. The mental process, the thought system, thinks about you as a body in the past. Yes? It remembers you now as a body by following those thoughts into the past about you as a body. Because obviously there is no past, yes? So by remembering yourself as a body then, seemingly, you remember yourself as a body now. And then when you're worrying about you in the future, you're worrying about you as a body, and that's another form of remembering. So the remembering happens now. You think you're thinking about the future, but the effects are happening now because they can never happen anywhere else, and the remembering happens now. So that which isn't can only appear to be by remembering it. Yes? That's what the mental state does. It's remembering you as a self, as a body.
So how do you do things like planning?
Terribly. No, literally. But I mean, planning is part of now too. And that's the action. The action figure is like, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. You have to render unto Caesar what Caesar's, yeah? This, you have a built-in chip. The action figure is running, attempting to do what it's doing.
So it's not about getting rid of the action figure, which is a lot of spiritual traditions, actually, right? But it's about, so there's a lot more about, it's not even about relate. Well, it is. It's about breaking a certain relationship of perception to the action figure.
Well, in this case, again, it's not breaking. Stuff will be revealed. Mm-hmm. Yeah? As things go, you'll find out. Yeah? You'll find out. It's not pursuing to know anything. You're just now available and open, and then things get revealed. Basically, pretty much based on your seat assignment, really. So I have a seat assignment to share, so I get downloads. We don't go into a get-ready room and prepare. We just show up, and then, bam, something downloads and does its thing. Yeah, so some of the download just gets translated into language, and other aspects of it doesn't. It's more sense felt, yeah? Now, if I was in the desert, I wouldn't need those kind of downloads. I could just sit there and, you know, whatever. But everyone has a seat assignment as an action figure. We have the ability to deal with that, yeah? But what happens is, if there's interest and attention, you can only lose interest and attention in things. You don't lose interest and attention. There's not like a quantity of interest and attention. Yeah? But what happens is we lose it in certain things that we're interested in attention. Yeah? This is the thing. So this thought system is being used to identify you as a body. Yeah? And when we take ourselves to be a body, our interest and attention is sort of going very easily to the thoughts, yeah? So I would go to back 5 years in my seeming life to think about what Paul was doing, but very rarely would I ever go back if there was thoughts about what was Stanley doing 5 years ago, yeah? If it's about me, I'm totally into it, seemingly. If it's not about me, I'm fucking not into it, yeah? It's basically, that's the key. Yeah. So what happens if you're not the object of all the thoughts? If you lose interest in that, the thought system's influence diminishes. So now suddenly you have an immunity to thought because they're not yours. And first of all, they're not that interesting. Really, they're not. And then when you see that you're not that thing that's being thought about, you lose interest in the past and the future because that's the realm of thinking about you. If you're not that you that the realm is about, you don't go on journeys there. So now you have immunity to what's not happening because it's obviously not happening. Yeah? It's not happening. You're not feeling, tasting, smelling, seeing it, are you? Most people, if they were bummed out today, it's not based on today. It's based on last week and next week. Most people, if you're in a nice place and you're flipping out, you're not responding to the appropriate situation. You're reacting to what's not happening. And the thing, see, people, you don't know. We're miracle workers here every day. You know, like Jesus brought Lazarus from the dead, supposedly, but at least Lazarus was alive once. We're making shit out of nothing all day. We are. We're producing effects out of nothing. What would happen if your interest and attention was freed from that dead preoccupation about you? I bet you, you'd find it would be enriching your day instead of enslaving this day to yesterday and tomorrow. With no vigilance of pulling it in to do it, it would find its natural little activity and you would feel enriched by being awake. Some people don't want to be awake because what they're awake to is thoughts about yesterday and tomorrow. They want to take a pill. They want to do something to get a break. Yeah? when that interest and attention is here, this is what enriches your day. This is what is really the act, the seeming act of being awake to being awake. Yeah? You're here. Because you can't be anywhere else. This whole idea, it just needs to flip me out, this thing, about this, the books of how to get into the moment. Yeah? How to get into the moment. So you read the book, How to Get into the Moment. And then probably never finish it, but you order the second one, How to Really Get into the Moment. And then you send in a forward, I want the third one, How to Really, Really Get into the Moment. But it's all predicated on an insane idea that you could be out of a moment. It's an insane idea. You never entertained that idea when you were a young kid. You never entertained the idea, oh, I could be somewhere else. When I was playing, I never worried, will I be playing next week? You know, because time hadn't set up yet. I wasn't going home and going, Mom, could you come into my bedroom? How was I playing today? I think Wayne was having more fun than me. I'm like, what am I, how can I get to, you know? None of that was happening because I hadn't entertained yet some freaking crazy ideas. So now most people are trying to get into what they can't be out of, and they're trying to get out of what they can't be in. If the horse would be put for the cart, you would realize there's no need to get into this moment. You've never missed any moment you've ever been in. And there's no need to get out of what you're not in, which is self. You're not. You're not a long-lasting, independent, separate entity. It's just, and how much time does it take? No time. How much time does it take to leave an imaginary place? None. You don't have to plan for the trip. You don't have to get maps. You just realize you're not in what you think you're in. But see, the thing is, the thinking demands the sense of being in to give you the processes and the journeys and the paths to get out. You don't realize all the getting out is a bigger in. Yes?
So you just said, you know, there's people that don't want to be awake, or that don't, you know, that take care of. So that, you know, like I'm here, and somebody, you know, and I sort of, you know, I believe you're a teacher, not teaching, but sort of just pointing me. And you know, I have friends or family members that have no desire, if you will, or know what's going on, but that wouldn't be sitting here, but are wrapped up in their own lives, addiction, thinking. What's in me that's not in them that they don't want to be? Why am I here and they're not?
Interest.
Is that it? Interest?
Willingness, sure. Willingness, yeah. You could have the perfect program here, and any person that was introduced to it could null and void it. We're it, yeah? We give everything all the meaning it has. We give everything is either appearing to be true or false to us. We are the reality and the action here. We are. We're dreaming. Yeah? Some people, they're not interested in anything. That's fine. I did a talk at Fern's house, this lady, and when we first started, my guy who was with said, he says, how are you going to do this one, Paul? Because they didn't look like they had any interest. One guy had an ice chest of beer. And, you know, it was sort of like they were there for salmon. And that was fine, because that's what they were there for. So it was sort of weird to try to start off a satsang, because obviously they had no interest. And then I said, you know, the thing I say at times, it's all right to agree or disagree, but do it silently. And he couldn't follow that thing. So he just kept talking about his life. It was great. I loved it. It was a beautiful movie. And it was like, and yet then suddenly all these people came, and then it, you know, that activity occurred. And it was like not exclusive, not one, it was all included. Yes, it was beautiful. See, the orchestration here is so much far forward seeing than we are, you know, as this action, as the brownie. I mean, it's the choreography is unbelievable. It only really sucks if you're the floor. If you can see it, it's awesome. It is, man. I like this whole place. That's what's so beautiful. My whole life as an action figure was trying to get out of here. Yeah? And you know what? I would put my devotion to drugs and match it up against any devotee in the history of spirituality. Hanuman, I beat him ass hand down. I love cocaine. I did anything for coke. I shot anything up. I gave everything of mine and anything I could get of yours and give it to it. And I loved it and I worshipped it. And I mean, not for like 28 days, but for years. A lot of years. And all the consequences that occurred were not enough to convince me otherwise. And yet, you cannot transcend an imaginary place. You can't. You can't leave here. Because it isn't here. You're the only here there is here. That's why this seems like here, is you're here. That's the only way this is going on, is that you're here. Yeah? Without you, there ain't this. It's funny to get into argument with the dreaming when this is what it's dreaming. I'm just pointing something out, and if you're ready to hear this, it doesn't even matter if you're ready to hear it. If one of those sperm got in and the mind wants to conceive it, it's going to conceive it, the bigger mind. It is. It just needs the sperm. So we're throwing tons of sperm up there. Just hopefully one will get in, and then if the mind conceives it, you may see, hey, I'm not that. And then suddenly the mind finally clicks, hey, I can be free from it. Like that. Now maybe it wants to dream itself out of that. Maybe it'll happen all of a seemingly a sudden. But the fact is, the inherent awakeness is the inherent awakeness. There wouldn't be the seemingly asleep without it. Because what is awake is the only thing that can act like it's asleep to awakeness. Nothing else could be asleep to awakeness if there was anything else. Only awakeness can seem not to be awake. So that's it, yeah. Oh, one more.
Does it have any quality? You said there's no quality.
No, but it expresses quality here. Yeah.
Like a lot of teachings that I've heard have to do with the way you can get into it through wisdom and get into it through compassion. You become aware of awareness because its nature is compassion.
That's not my C assignment, so. You know, like I'm a cod salesman. I don't have anything to say about salmon or mackerel. I just sell cod. You can grill it, sushi it, whatever. But if you come here, it's going to be cod. And you can be assured of that. It will always be cod. Yeah. I'm not a believer in all that myself. That's all. It's too tricky, see, because if there's a journey involved, you may have an unwanted companion going with you, which is the selfing. In the immediacy of this, selfing can't root. It can't fucking grow. Yeah? It needs time to grow. It does. It needs things to claim to grow. It has to appear to be so, so it needs to cling on a lot of things. The immediacy of this is unclingable. That's what I like about it. It's like sky. It is. That's one of the qualities. It's not a quality. I guess it is a quality, and not an anti-quality. Yeah, it's immediate timelessness. The selfing can't really claim this fucker. Yeah, like I remember when I first started hearing this, the mental state tried to claim it, and so my girlfriend would leave, and she'd come back, and she said, "Paul, I thought you were going to do the dishes." I said, "Well, there is no Paul." And she said, "Fuck you, Paul," because it was mental state had heard these ideas and was trying to use it for its own little benefit. You know, I can absolve myself of all responsibility. You know, oh, this sounds good. But after it tries to use it, it can't. It's like you see a coyote with a desert tortoise. It can't get to it. It's excited, interested in it for 2 or 3 minutes, and then fucking walks away because it can't get in. Yeah, that's what nothing is. It's beautiful. Can't be claimed. Can't be fucking made into anything. It's just nothing. Yeah. I mean, non-duality. A lot of people are trying to turn it into something, but I know it's gonna burn through it all because it's very boring if you're addicted to experience. It is. It's not an experience. It's just a negation of the dreaming. The subject-objectness of the dream. That's all it is. It's just questioning from what you are, what you're not. You don't know you're questioning from what you are, but when you see what you're not, you'll find out what you are. Yeah.
How do you remind yourself that you're fooling yourself?
Oh, just watch it. That's all it does. It's not fooling you, though. To me, it was like this. Let's say at one time it was like CNN, right? A lot of news flashes, headlines, you're fucked. That's everything that happened. And now it's Comedy Central. It's the same thing, but now it's just fucking amusing. Yeah? I mean, I see things. When I go into a scene, I see 8 different scenes, and I just joke to myself. I keep myself amused most of the time. But before, it was very serious. Fuck, yes. I go up to Haight Street in San Francisco, and it was like, my whole life's going to change if I turn left or right. It was so ponderous, you know? Fucking, it was incredible. When I was young, I remember I walked through a hallway of school, and a pretty girl said hello to me, and I went home and wondered what she meant by it for 5 hours. That's the self. Fucking unbelievable. Unbearable. You'd want a drink, man. That's what happened to me. I wanted to get loaded. Anyway, I'd pay any consequence tomorrow to get out of it right now. Yep.
Where's survival in this? Where's your instinct to survive these bodies?
Oh, they're still gone. They're still here. They've never been your instincts. They're built in. The action figure is like a Google car. It drives itself and everything like that. Yeah. Actually, it does better with you out of the way. Yeah. It does. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you really got back to basics, you would be attracted to the food that would work best for this. You would. These things are all possible. We're so whatever. Yeah. The mental state has intruded in so much stuff. Yeah, it's made the body its image of itself. I mean, it's way heavy duty. This is just a Toyota. It drives. Yeah, it has a lifelong supply of gas. Yeah, the tires may go bad. It may need a knee replacement or something. But, you know, and then it's going to end and it will be like it never happened. Yeah. You aren't going to experience your own death. Other people will. You're not going to experience your own death. Other people will. Yeah.
Dying.
Hmm?
Dying process.
What?
Dying process.
Yeah. When you pass away, this is what trips me out. If you're listening to a narration of life, yeah? In other words, didn't you think this was strange? Like if you worked, and then you worked 8 hours, and then you left the job, and you went home, and you made some food, and at 8:30 you get a news flash that you had a bad day. Your head would proclaim, "You had a bad fucking day today." Wouldn't you think you would know it was bad while it was batting? You know, I mean, are we on a 12-hour like displacement, really, that we have to wait for something to tell us what happened? Yes, I think we are a lot of the time. So that narrator is always going to tell us what has happened, seemingly. But it's never, it's using that moment to tell about a previous, you know, fake moment. So what happens if you've been listening to it with great devotion and you get to the moment of death, and as you're passing away, you're waiting to hear what is happening, but it dies with the body. Yeah? Or you get the real bummer, which is at the last minute it says, "You really blew it." Oh! Can you imagine that? 80 years. And it says, like, "Oh, by the way, Paul, you fucked up." What a note to go on. And then that would be it. It'd be, what? No. There'd be no what. But no. Oh, one more. That's it. One more.
It's like you and I give all the meaning. Everything, all the meaning it has, right?
Yes.
You and I is what?
What?
What's you and I?
Find out.
Like everybody. Each one of us needs a meaning, right?
Yes.
But then you say it's the big and minded. Big minded.
This is what the meaning is being giving through, yes? So there's just meaning, and when it comes through here, it's given meaning, yeah? Just sort of like energy, just sort of like undifferentiated light, when it comes through this seeming camera, it differentiates. Yeah? Then high, low, close, far, yes, near. Yeah? And then different degrees. But basically, it just replicates and gives degrees to things.
Another thing that, like you say, that you are the big part of it. You don't know the role that you play.
Yeah.
Then it's a mental state. So I guess the mental state is the bigger one. Or
I didn't hear the last part.
Like
no, you're a bigger part than that. Yes, you're the senior of it.
You are the player role. You don't see your role. You play a role in here, right? But this was another talk. But
no, see, the biggest part you play is you're the seeing of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the meaning.
The seeing doesn't have any meaning.
Meaning comes from the mind.
It comes when the seeing moves through the mind. Mm-hmm. This mind, the brain, yes.
The mind.
Yes.
So, like, what's our role?
Like,
it just happens by itself.
Yeah.
How can we change? How can we have a role then?
We have a role, but it's not to change things. Yeah? Change may initiate through us, but we're not changing anything. See, there's a presupposing. So something happens. There's, let's say, change starts to occur. The mental state presupposes it has something to do with it. That's the selfing. Yes? And then you take responsibility for what happened. Yeah? And then it's thought about for 40 years. Now, if it was Stanley, you wouldn't have thought about it even for that day. But because it's you, you go over it. Like with a fine, it's like we're like a forensic unit, yeah? We're constantly on every scene of the crime going through it, and it's, you know, every day you find a new clue based on what your seeming condition is, yeah? So there's just that which has no meaning gives meaning here through this, yeah? Yeah, the dreaming is an expression of meaning, yeah?
It just happens, like it's just.
Just like your heartbeat is just happening. You're breathing. Most of the only thing that you have any half of control of is breathing. Everything else is involuntary because something knew better to give you any power. If you were the beater of the heart, you wouldn't have made it for 2 seconds. You would have been, oh, look at that. Oop, you would have been passed away. You're not digesting your food. Basically, and the funny thing is, it's so obvious you're not digesting your food, but a much subtler process you believe you're the doer of, which is thinking. It's mind-boggling.
So can you talk a little bit about karma? So as being, and that, like,
I don't,
things
karma,
happen in,
yes,
people's lives, right?
Hmm?
You know, like, shitty things happen in people's lives, right? And I don't, you know, so what's happening there, you know?
That's getting into some. That's just going to be speculation and going over like a philosophical idea. I'd rather just see how the activities are going. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You can read books and go to people that have much more interest in karma than I do. I don't believe there's karma. To tell you the truth.
Can you say why?
Because I don't think there's anyone to have karma. Maybe the karma is the idea of someone who has karma. That could, I could see it that way. But I don't go anywhere with that. I like the idea of what Buddha said. Forget about all that. Just look at, are you suffering? Is there a malaise? Is there a dissatisfaction? Well, the root of it is desire. To me, selfing is the root of desire, which is the desire to become and unbecome. That's what selfing is. That's the primary agitation that agitates everything else. So just add a couple of letters, words to what Buddha said. The source of all suffering is desire. Well, I think the mental state's whole action is a desiring to become and unbecome. Yeah? And all right, so how to get some relief from that? This isn't a method, because I believe the relief is prior to it, not after it. Yeah? I believe if you see it's not you that's suffering, and it's not you that has suffering, that will change the suffering quite a lot. Yeah? It'll take a lot of heaviness out of the suffering. Like someone got in touch with me. What about pain? Hey, pain happens, but it goes easier on you when it's not yours. Simple as that. This is a very practical entertaining because it's you. Yeah? And you're always available at all times, right where you are. There's rest there. And in rest, you can see agitation much clearer. Seeing agitation from agitation is just more agitation. But what you are can see the agitation. And all that agitation doesn't make anything so. It just makes things seem to be so to us.
Makes it look solid.
It makes it look solid, but we give it the slot. We have to believe in it for it to seem solid. See? That, to me, is abstinence. Abstinence is, it's not a force or a practice restraining. You lose interest. Yeah? Like, for me, one of the first big losses of interest, and I lost interest in the need to be liberated. Because what needs to be liberated isn't me. I lost total interest in it. Yeah? I've lost tons of interest in a lot of things. Because the interest I thought I had in it was because I was going to get it or I didn't have it. Once I saw that wasn't me, I had no interest in it. The real liberation is losing the interest, the need to be liberated. When you lose interest in the need to be liberated, that's liberation. It's a flavor, but if it triggers a flavor in you, order that flavor. Entertain it. Because all the mind needs is a seed. It can germinate it and expand it unbelievably. Yes? The mind is everything. Big M mind. It precedes everything. That's like a statement. The seeker is the sought. It's a very short thing. But that can produce an avalanche in one. Yeah? You'll feel an avalanche. And when there's an expansion in mind, it's not mind expanding. There's an expansion in mind. The expansion in mind is like throwing a rock in a very, very super deep well. You never hear it hit. So the expansion, but the expansion intimates the hugeness of mind. Yeah? So you get almost like an echo. If you entertain the expansion, you get an echo of the huge expanse of what we are. Yeah? Yeah. We have so many clamps on entertaining. First of all, self-centeredness puts time involved in all of it. So your condition is, I hope it will be, and it was once. Yes? It loses everything by stretching it into time. It can't get rid of these things. It just disguises them. By going like this with them, putting something into the future and the past, makes it seem like it's not available now. And yet it's available now. Because you're here. You're the harbinger. You're the harbinger of everything. Nothing comes here without you being here. You're the bringer of the peace. How could it not be? How could it be any other way? Let it go in and see. It's obvious. You are what you've been looking for. The seeker is the sought. You can't use the Buddha to seek the Buddha. You can't use mind to seek mind. I would say a lot of us could be, you know, that shoe would fit a lot of us. Thank God it wasn't us, but that's what was happening, wasn't it? It was a denial of the Buddha by looking for the Buddha. That's how it works. That's how the mental state does its trick. It tells you you're in, and then it gives you tons of plans to get out. But the in is an imaginary place. And then the out's the real trap. Every time you try to get out, you're reinforcing the fallacy that it's a true in. This is how it works. If you see it once, you'll see its example all over the place. It has a logic. How it presents an in is you're being driven to get out. That's how it makes something real, is by reality wanting to get out of it. That's what gives it a reality. Where the reality? If you would stop all those things that you're afraid of catching up to you, when they caught up to you, they would reveal their true nature. They're not so. They were only so while you were trying to make them not so. Haven't you noticed that? Things in my life when I was young, like they were so terrifying. My whole life was about making them not real, and they made them as real can be. As soon as I let them land on me and be as true as they wanted to be, they were shown not to be so. It's a different logic. The big M mind doesn't think like this. It doesn't think at all. The small M, the mental process, it's totally insane, but if you're in it, you think it's logical. And therefore, when you see something that truly works, you call it paradoxical. The thing isn't paradoxical. It's the system that's trying to make sense of it is fucked. So the only way you can see when something really works, oh, that's very paradoxical. No, it isn't. That's how it works. This is the fucking crazy paradox. You know what I mean? That we keep relying on this thing. That's it, you know. So thank you so much for And we're going to have a song if you like to stay.